good to be saved. Amen. Good to have you all here this morning. We've been doing our study on the cults, and for the last few weeks we've been looking at the cults of the Jehovah Witnesses and going over what and why they believe what they believe, proving from the scriptures that it is false, it's not true. And this morning I just wanted to kind of go over with you some of their literature, what the Jehovah Witnesses, the main way that they propagate. They do a lot of door-to-door work, not as much as probably as the Mormons, but probably more than your average fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptist church. Because those churches believe the Bible, so they don't see the need to go witness to people. I'm just going to teach this morning. I'm not going to preach, but just making sure everybody's awake. All right, good. A few things now. First of all, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have their magazines. They have their watchtowers. Y'all ever seen one of these floating around somewhere? This is how they propagate what they believe right here, these little watchtower magazines. I've got one here from 2006, one here from March 2007. And it's always about the basically what the Jehovah's Witnesses do is they can't rightly divide the scriptures, so they take all the scriptures for the millennium, try to apply them to the child of God today, and they can't rightly divide between the tribulation, the church age, the millennium, and so they get it all messed up, get it all mixed up, and then they take the verses that they like and they get rid of the verses that they don't like. Basically what it comes down to. But it goes into all that stuff here. There's a little thing on Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel is also Jesus Christ. That's what they teach. They also have this thing here called Awake. It's another little magazine that they put out. www.watchtower.org. So another one of their little paraphernalia that they publish and put out to people called Awake Magazine. They also have these little booklets that they give to their people, little handbooks. My stepmother has a whole bookshelf full of these things, you know, with all the different titles on them. And they've got about 100 of these things out, I guess, just on all different kinds of subjects. Basically what it is they can't tell you to just read your Bible and learn it. Just go to church and hear the preaching and hear the teaching and learn your Bible. So what they have to do is give you 153 other pieces of material to try and teach you the Bible they want the way they want you to learn it. Because you can't learn it without help from the Jehovah's Witness hierarchy. That's what they teach. But of course, their biggest mess of all is their New World Translation. It's called the NWT, New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. This is the Jehovah's Witness Bible. All right, and this is, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, this is the only Bible you're supposed to read. They don't want you reading King James Bible. See? They don't want you reading any of those. And there's reasons for that. If you look in your Bible in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, see, they've come up with a Bible that fits their beliefs. Can you imagine changing the Bible and changing the Word of God just so that it would fit in better with what you want to believe? I mean, only a cult would do something like that, right? John chapter 1 and verse 1. Somebody stand up. Man, stand up and read me John 1:1. Go ahead, Henry.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God.
No, that's not it. Sorry. Let me give it to you now. This is the appropriate translation according to Jehovah's Witnesses. In the beginning, the Word was. And the Word was with God. And the Word was a God. See? Just one letter. Just one letter. I mean, what's the big deal? Right? So what have they done? They've just perverted the words of the living God. That's what they've done. To teach their belief. What is their belief? Well, they say that they believe that Jesus and God are separate gods. Only problem is you can take a New World Translation, I'll give you a few verses, and show a Jehovah's Witness from their own Bible. See? Even they weren't smart enough to get rid of all of it. Because they don't know how to compare Scripture with Scripture. So they weren't able to get rid of all the Scriptures that prove that Jesus Christ is God. I'll give you a couple examples. Luke chapter 1. I'll read you in verse 47 what the New World Translation says. Luke 1 and verse 47. Oh, we didn't pray yet, did we? Hey, Brother Wayne, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord. We thank you for another day to be in your house and learn your word, dear Lord. We just ask you, as we gather this morning, you preach the word through Brother Ray, dear Lord, and open our minds and our hearts and just give us the wisdom to take your word in and learn from it, dear Lord, and be able to use it out in the world, dear Lord. And we just ask you, as the teachers in the back, teach the small ones, dear Lord, that you just give them what you would have them to say, dear Lord, and just open the minds and the hearts of the little ones back there, dear Lord, that someone there is not saved, dear Lord, but before they leave today, they will be. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, the New World Translation says, "And my spirit cannot keep from being overjoyed at God my Savior." All right, so who's their Savior? It's God, right? All right, now, same gospel, look in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Now, you write these verses down, and you can show a Jehovah's Witness in their own New World Translation. See? Verse 11 says, "Because there was born to you today a Savior who is Christ Lord in David's city." Well, who's the Savior? Is it God or is it Jesus Christ? Well, you can't have two. That's Luke 1, chapter 2 and verse 11. "Because there was born to you today a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So who's the Savior? Is it God or is it Jesus Christ? Or is Jesus Christ God? Well, they say that Jesus Christ isn't God, but then you have two Saviors. Can that be possible? Look in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. This is their passage that they say they rely on because this is what says they are the Jehovah Witnesses. I'll read it to you from the New World Translation. You follow along in the King James Bible. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. "Ye are my witnesses," is the utterance of Jehovah. That's how they get Jehovah Witnesses right there. See? "Even my servant whom I have chosen, in order that ye may know and have faith in me, and that ye may understand that I am the same one. Before me there was no God formed, and after me there continued to be none. I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior." But their Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You understand? You can use their own Bible against them. How did David cut off Goliath's head? David's sword? No, he used Goliath's own sword against him. Just hit him with a rock first, you'll be all right. Amen. Revelation chapter 19. This is one they have to change. Every new version of the Bible has this part of Scripture, right? Except for New World Translation. They have trouble right here. And there's a good reason for it. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. "And I saw all the wild beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war with them." Oh, that ain't the right verse. Well, there it is. That's what it was. Verse 16. "And upon his outer garment, even upon his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Is that what yours says? Isn't it capital L-O-R-D? Capital L-O-R-D? You look anywhere else. In your King James Bible, where you have a capital L-O-R-D, you know how the Jehovah Witnesses change that? They say it's Jehovah. Now, if you wanted to take the Hebrew, that's what it is. See? So when you see L-O-R-D capitalized in your King James Bible, and you compare it to the New World Translation, every time you see capital L-O-R-D, they change that to Jehovah, except for right here. Because who is Jesus Christ said to be? Jehovah of Jehovahs. They ain't going to put that, are they? So you know, they change it and they make it a small L-O-R-D. Now even the NIV has enough sense to make that capital L-O-R-D. But not the Jehovah Witness Bible. Say, why do they do that? Well, because they're not honest. Simple. You change it to fit what you want to believe. Isaiah chapter 7. Now here's another one you can get them on. Using their own sword. Isaiah chapter 7. Look in verse 14. Therefore, Jehovah Himself, what does yours say? Capital L-O-R-D? Yeah. They even make that Jehovah. But they won't back there in Revelation 19. Even Jehovah Himself, where am I at? Verse what? Thank you. Therefore, Jehovah Himself will give you men a sign. Look, the maiden herself, I thought it was a virgin. The maiden herself will act, see, virgin's hard to understand. Well, I guess it's not used much anymore, but. Therefore, Jehovah Himself will give you a sign. Look, the maiden herself will actually become pregnant. She is giving birth to a son. And she will certainly call his name Emmanuel. Okay, what does Emmanuel mean? Matthew chapter 1 in a New World Translation. See, they don't even have enough sense to cover up all their tracks. That's what happens when you get caught in a lie and you have to try and say another lie. You say it sooner or later, you're going to get caught. Verse 23 of Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Look, the virgin will become pregnant. Well, they got it right this time. Why did they say maiden before? Look, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means, when translated, with us is God. Then who's Jesus Christ, according to the New World Translation? And it didn't even say a God. So you can use their own sword against them. Look in Isaiah 9. Another one. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For there has been a child born to us, there has been a son given to us, and the princely rule will come to be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. New World Translation. So you can use their own sword against them to prove that Jesus Christ is God. Even they couldn't cover it up. You got over there in John chapter 20, you have Thomas saying to Jesus Christ after he puts his finger through the hole in his hand and puts his hand through his side, and he says, "My Lord and my God." Amen? Jesus Christ is God, and it can be proven even in a New World Translation, even though they don't believe what they wrote. That's what that shows you. The purpose in all of this, and you'll find with every cult, is to not have any one particular book be their final authority. The book is not your final authority. The institution is. Whether it's Roman Catholic, whether it's Mormon, whether it's Jehovah's Witness, or any of the ones that we'll look at, your authority is not from a book that you can get that was given to you from God. Your authority is a person or an institution. See? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. Amen. All right, we're going to do some comparison now. I might need a hand with some of this. Who would like to read for me out of the New World Translation? I may need some help. We've got some volunteers here. All right, Eric, you've got the New World Translation. You've got the New American Standard. Richie, you've got the NIV. And we've got a New Testament, Wes. That's the Holman. That's the new one the Southern Baptists are pushing right there. No, I need those for my collection for when we do these, because I don't want to have to buy one. I don't want to give them any money for their efforts. All right, let's look at a few things. Now, you have your King James Bible. You turn there, and we'll have the others turn in their perversion. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start there. The proof that you're a Christian, one of the proofs is that you can confess that Jesus is God. See? That is a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifest in the flesh, and that's a mystery. Those mysteries are only revealed to believers through God's Holy Spirit. They cannot be revealed to a lost person. A lost person can't understand how Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit can be one. They can't understand that. It's not always the easiest thing to understand. See, I understand that, but God's Spirit can reveal it to you. I have this cup with water in it. Now, if I had some ice cubes in this cup, right? So I had water, and I had some ice. Okay? Which one of them is actually water? Well, they're different. How could they be the same? You understand? Okay. So when you're talking about God the Father and God the Son, that's all we're talking about there. It's the same thing, just revealed differently, a different manifestation. And Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. All right, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you got a lot of these people talking about Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. The Bible says every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's lost people can confess that. They're confessing that before being thrown in the lake of fire. What kind of a confession is that? The confession and demonstration of the Holy Ghost is not you saying Jesus is Lord. That's not it. What is it? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Therefore, I better read the right. I've got four different translations in one here so that I can keep up. That's how I study my Bible. I take this one and this one and this one and this one, and then I decide which parts I like. Well, that's what a lot of preachers do. See? Well, I got four different versions. They're all different, and I'll choose which parts. Then who's God? See? I'm going to read in the Bible, King James Bible, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. No man can say that Jesus is what? The Lord. One only. See, that's a definite article. You can't say that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, New World Translation, Brother Eric.
All right. Therefore, I would have you know that nobody, when speaking by God's Spirit, says Jesus is a person. And nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. Little Holy Spirit.
Wait a minute. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit? Well, then I guess the Jehovah's Witnesses have the Holy Spirit because they can say Jesus is Lord. They just can't say that Jesus is the Lord. Now, you see that? Go ahead, Wes. What have we got in the Holman? Because that's a new one put out by the Southern Baptist. That should help us. We've gotten the latest information and light from the Scriptures now.
Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Now, why is the new Holman Standard Bible wanting to line up with the New World Translation instead of the King James Bible? See? What do you got, the New American Standard there? What do we got there, Nick? Jesus is Lord. Matching the New World Translation. Richie, can you find it in there? Now, only the King James Bible there says, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can say that Jesus is the Lord. And all the other ones change that. Do Mormons say that Jesus is Lord? They sure do. Sure. They all say that Jesus is Lord, right? But can they say that Jesus is the Lord? See? That's the catch. Now, why do they all change that? Is there a problem understanding the word the? Somebody's having trouble with a word like the and a. Strange. Strange. Let's try it again. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'll tell you one thing right now. The devil don't appreciate us doing this morning. You're getting light from these scriptures. You know how you tell light? You compare it to the darkness. And you'll find the light. Where are you going with my NIV? I never thought I'd say that before. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? Who's Jesus Christ? He was God manifest in the flesh. All right. Brother Eric, New World Translation, Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
He.
He? I guess God's kind of an archaic word. He could be anybody. See? Thank you, brother. He was manifest. What is that saying? Nothing. The point of that verse, the mystery is that God was manifest in the flesh. Well, why take out God and change it to He? Strange thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. All right, let's hear from the Holman Bible here. Wes, what do we got there? What does it say? Does it say he?
He.
Mick, does yours say he in the New American Standard? Richie, does it say he or God? Yeah. Now, you can get any Christian and understand, and they'll see and understand, oh yeah, the New World Translation, that's terrible. I can't believe the Jehovah's Witnesses did that, and look how they've changed the Bible. Now, what's the difference between those other new versions of the Bible in the New World Translation? See? Now, who's in the cult? If your final authority can't be found in a book that's perfect, then where's your final authority in? Huh? Some egghead getting up that says he knows Greek and he'll tell you what the Bible really says? Yeah, they ain't none of them going to agree among themselves anyway. Look in 1 John chapter 5. Surely a Christian wouldn't mess with this verse. 1 John chapter 5. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. Light in my pathway to shine. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Great verse in the Bible on the Trinity right here. 1 John 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, is that too hard to understand? I know that's old English. But, you know, that old archaic Elizabethan English. But if you'll look at that verse, it's not really that hard to understand. There are three that bear record. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. You got it. New World Translation, Brother Eric.
I just memorized it. There are three witnesses.
There are three witness bearers. Actually, what they've done there Now you look at verse 8. There are three that bear witness. They've taken part of verse 8. They moved it up into verse 7 so that you wouldn't know they took verse 7 out. Could you believe those vile Jehovah Witnesses took a verse out of your Bible and then took part of the verse before it and put it back up in there so you wouldn't even know that that verse was missing from your Bible? Who could be so wicked as to do that? Wes, could you please read me from the Holman Christian Standard Bible that the Southern Baptists say is the best Bible for Christians today?
Well, there are three that testify.
Well, those good, godly Southern Baptist Christians took part of verse 8 and moved it up to verse 7 so that you wouldn't know that verse 7 was missing from their Bible either. Now, that's done from a cult. I can understand that. But those people say they're saved. They say they love God. And they do that? Mick, New American Standard, please.
And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth.
Oh, well, at least they didn't move part of verse 8 up into verse 7. They just took part of verse 6 and moved it down into verse 7. So that you would know that verse 7 had been taken out. Same thing in the NIV. Okay. Now, isn't that amazing? You can talk to the average Christian today and they have no problem agreeing with you that the New World Translation is not of God. And yet you can take them to any of these other NIV, New American Standard, any of these other new versions of the Bible, and they do the same exact thing in all the same places. Wes? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We were in there looking at, we were looking for some teenage game books and stuff with
teenagers
and stuff.
Right.
We pulled down an NIV, we were looking at this verse right here, and they just had a 7 in it. There wasn't even a verse 6.
Right. Yeah.
But now they're putting.
Yeah, they wanted to cover it up so that people wouldn't say, hey, how come this verse is missing? I have a scripture memory thing that James Knox put out. And it's how to memorize 27 verses of the Bible in less than 10 minutes. And how to memorize 27 verses from the Bible in less than 10 minutes. And then he gives you the 27 verses to look up. And he says, to do this, however, you must use a New International Version. And then you turn to those verses in a New International Version, and they're not there. So it obviously is a more effective way to study and memorize Scripture. So they got us beat on that one. John chapter 1. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Of course, they like to make it that Jesus is a separate God from God the Father. So when they come to this verse, they have to mess with it. John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus Christ became manifest as God to declare God unto the world. Because nobody could literally or visibly see God. God is a spirit, right? So, doesn't that make sense that the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he declared? Brother Eric, New World Translation.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, little God, who is in the bosom with the Father is the one that has explained him.
So Jesus Christ is a begotten God. He's not God, he's a begotten God, he's a separate God. That's what they just did in that verse. Instead of saying the only begotten Son, they said that Jesus Christ was the only begotten God. That's sorry. That's sad. Mick, New American Standard, please.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, big G, is in the bosom of the Father. He has
So if you have a New American Standard, you also have that verse saying that Jesus Christ is a begotten God. If He's a begotten God, He's not God. You want to deny the deity of Jesus Christ? Get you a New American Standard. Or get you an NIV. You'd be just as well off as you would a New World Translation. Amen? Now, I can prove to you that the King James Bible is the Word of God and that the others aren't, with a few verses. Because the King James Bible does not have any proven mistakes in it. We had a guy email us from our website trying to say there was mistakes in the King James Bible, and I responded and I showed him how he was a liar. Being able to prove it from Scripture. See? The things I'm going to show you, there's no way around them other than to say it's a mistake. Alright? See what I'm saying? There are actual mistakes in the New World Translation. And there are actual mistakes in the other versions as well. Therefore, they couldn't be the Word of God. You understand that? If they were the Word of God, they wouldn't have any mistakes in them. You don't think God would make a mistake, do you? You believe God's holy, don't you? Isn't it a holy Bible? Isn't it supposed to be a holy Bible? Holy means there's nothing missing. There's no mistakes. See? A holy God means He's a God without error, without mistake. A holy Bible means it's a Bible without error, without mistakes. If you've got mistakes in it, it's not a holy Bible. Look in 2 Samuel in your Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Not going to be able to do it, and I just got the New Testament in that, brother. Second Samuel, chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. Y'all got it? Verse 19, 2 Samuel 21 and verse 19. And there was war again, a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Y'all have heard the story of David and Goliath, and David killed Goliath. Well, Goliath had some brothers. And here, one of the brothers of Goliath, the Gittite, is slain where Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, kills him. You understand that? Right? That's verse 19, 2 Samuel 21. Y'all got that? All right. Brother Eric, if you could please read me that from the New World Translation.
And the war arose once again with the Philistines at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, the Bethlehemite, got to strike down Goliath, the Gittite. The shaft of his spear was like the beam of loom workers.
Who did he slew?
Goliath.
Really? So it was Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, that slew Goliath. Now, I don't think anybody here who's done any time in Sunday school at all as a child wouldn't know that David slew Goliath in your Bible. But according to the New World Translation, it wasn't David. It was this other guy, Elhanan. You know what that is? That's a mistake. You can prove that's a mistake. You can prove in a court of law that's a mistake. Is that the Word of God? Would the Word of God make a mistake like that? Mick, New American Standard, please.
And there was war with the Philistines again at Gob, and the Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath with the Gittite.
Really? Who killed Goliath? Does anybody know?
David.
All right, y'all understand that. Well, not according to the New American Standard, he didn't. Elhanan did. Richie, NIV. Y'all come on in. Did he? Now, is that a mistake? All right. Now, does the Bible have any mistakes in it? Absolutely not. So if you've got a mistake there, you know one thing for sure. It's not the real Bible. Amen? All right, let's look at another mistake in the New World Translation. The Jehovah Witness Bible, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Eric, if you'll turn there in the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Bible, to Mark chapter 1, in which you'll find in Mark chapter 1 is that there's another mistake in the New World Translation, proving it's not the Word of God. Would the Word of God have mistakes in it? Of course not. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So he says in verse 2, as it is written in the prophets. And then he quotes Malachi, I send my messenger before thy face. And then he quotes Isaiah in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's quoting Malachi, he's quoting Isaiah, and so he says, as it is written, where? In the prophets. New World Translation. What does it say, Eric?
Just as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, look, I am sending forth my messenger before your face.
No, that isn't written in Isaiah the prophet. They say it as it's written in Isaiah the prophet and then quote Malachi. That's a mistake. God wouldn't make a mistake, would he? Brother Florence, could you read for us the New International Version, please, at the same place?
Yes, it says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead.
You think that's the Word of God?
No.
What do you think of your God? Would he make a mistake like that? Would he say something is written in Isaiah when it was written in Malachi? Now, the great educated scholars that write these new pieces of garbage, they don't know the difference because they don't read the Bible anyway. They learn enough how to correct it and not believe it, but they don't read it. Because there's no way you could read through that and think that that thing wasn't a mistake. If you knew anything at all. I'll give you another one. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And here in Hebrews, he's going over the Old Testament tabernacle. We don't have time to do a whole study on the tabernacle right now. But it's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our salvation. That Old Testament tabernacle. If you'll look at that Old Testament tabernacle, it was situated and constructed in such a way to point and picture many wonderful things for us as Christians today. But notice what he says about this tabernacle in verse 2 of Hebrews 9. He says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, now he says the first, that's the first section of the tabernacle, and then there was a big veil, and then behind that, the holiest of all, the holy place. He says, the first where was the tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubim of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. The idea was that the high priest would go back there once a year. When the high priest went back there, he would take a golden censer, right, which was basically like a big incense thing, like you'll see in Catholic churches, they'll have that thing. They'll wave that thing around, the incense kind of, you know, they call that holy smoke, I guess is what that is. But you take they would take incense from the golden altar that was before the veil. And they'd take that incense in there, and they'd put it on them coals, and it would poof. And that high priest, when he would go back there once a year to make reconciliation for himself and the people, when he would go back there, he could only do that once a year, and he would go back there with blood and put it on the mercy seat. And if he didn't have that golden censer when he went back there, and that incense wasn't burning and covering that thing, he was a dead duck. Now, you know what a blessing that is when you read that? What you're reading is when the Holy Spirit is now looking back to the tabernacle in the Old Testament, where's the high priest? Where's our high priest? He's in the Holy of Holies because the golden censer is there. The golden censer was only in the Holy of Holies when the high priest was there. You know what the Holy Spirit just told you? We have a high priest who is ever living to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of the Father, over the mercy seat right now for you and I. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? Now, New World Translation, Brother Eric. Verse 3 and 4. Say.
There was constructed a first tent in which were the lampstand and also the table and the display of the loaves, and it is called the holy place. But behind the second curtain was a tent called the most holy. This had a golden center, and the ark of the covenant overlaid all around with gold.
Okay, at least they got that right. They got the golden censer right. You know, they got it right. We've got to give them credit. See? Yeah. But they got the golden censer. At least they're glorifying Jesus Christ in that sense. So, at least in that place, we can't say that the New World Translation has a mistake in it. Right? Well, Brother Richie, could you reforce the New International Version? The golden altar. The golden altar was back behind the second veil, wasn't it? Now, you believe that? You don't know your Bible very well. You know what that is? That's a mistake. Wait a minute. That means we just found more mistakes in the New International Version than we found in the New World Translation. New American Standard. A what? Behind the second veil? Wes Holman Bible. The new one the Southern Baptists are pushing now.
Our tabernacle was set up and in the first room, which is called the holy place, where the lampstand, the table, the presentation was, behind the second curtain, the tabernacle was called the Holy of Holies. It contained the gold altar.
It did? Your New World Translation that every Christian will admit is a piece of garbage has less mistakes in it than all these other new versions of the Bible they've been putting out and making millions of dollars off of Christians for. Say, well, why haven't I heard about it? Why hasn't anybody told me? You just heard the reason why. That's why. All these Bible bookstores out there, they can't make a lot of money off of King James Bible unless it's a study Bible. You could go in your basement and print out all the King James Bibles you wanted for nothing. You know why? It isn't copyrighted. Nobody owns it. Any of these new versions of the Bible, somebody owns them. You got to pay royalties. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, here's another problem. Look here. You're already in Hebrews, so look in Hebrews 9 and verse 15. How many of you thank God for the New Testament? I mean, if it wasn't for the New Testament, we'd be in trouble. Amen. We wouldn't be talking about Jesus' blood and how we can be saved freely by His grace. We'd be coming here and everybody would be coming in and there'd be moo, moo, meh, meh, meh. And we'd be slaying animals on the altar to pay for our sins. See? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, and for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Thank God. For where a testator is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Has anybody here ever had a last will and testament made? Good idea to have one of those in place in case the Lord calls you home. You know, you don't keep the family arguing as long. They're all Christians until, you know, it comes time for that. I didn't mean to start preaching now. We'll keep teaching. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator lives. You can have a last will and testament, but nobody gets anything that's on there until you die. You understand that, right? Okay, let's read those same verses from the New World Translation.
So that is why he is a mediator of a new covenant.
A new covenant.
In order that, because a death has occurred for their release by ransom from the transgression under the former covenant, the ones who have been called might receive the promise of the everlasting inheritance. For where there is a covenant, the death of the covenanter.
Really? So before a covenant can be enforced, somebody has to die? Then what about all those covenants that God gave to Abraham and nobody died then? You can have a covenant without somebody dying. Anybody can make an agreement. You sign a piece of paper, you've made a covenant. Nobody has to die. A testament means somebody has to die. The problem is if you looked in the New World Translation and you go from what? Genesis all the way through and you look at the New World Translation, you know what you won't find? It starts here, Genesis. Names and orders of the books of the Hebrew Aramaic Scriptures. And then over here, names of the Christian Greek Scriptures. Nothing about Old Testament, New Testament. You know why? You can't find the word New Testament in a New World Translation. Because that's where God tells you about the New Testament is in Hebrews chapter 9. Can you imagine having a Bible and claim to be a Christian and it doesn't even contain a New Testament in it? Richie, could you please read the New International Version for us, please? I'm having a good time this morning.
For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. And those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom, he set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
No testament. You have no New Testament in a New International Version. Did you know that? Same thing in the New American Standard make? Well, same, no covenant, right? Or no testament. Wes, how about the Holman? Covenant. No testament. Is that such a hard word to understand? Are they trying to make the Bible easier for you to understand? Do you really believe that line? You know how the devil gets everybody? He gets them through their laziness. Get this Bible, it's easier to understand. Who told you the Bible was supposed to be easier to understand? I thought we were supposed to rely on God's Spirit to reveal the Bible to us. One more, we're done. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. So what's that song? At Calvary. How many of you ever sang songs about Calvary? Thank God for Calvary. You know how many times the word Calvary shows up in your Bible? One time. It's in Luke chapter 23. Look in Luke 23 and verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The only place in your Bible where you see the word Calvary is right there. And we have so many songs that we sing about that blessed event. And thank God for Calvary. Eric, would you please read that verse for us in the New World Translation? Called Skull. At Skull, mercy there was great. Honestly. Richie, New International Version, please. The skull, da 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 da. I thought it was Calvary. Mick, New American Standard? Skull, S-K-U-L-L. Mick? No Calvary. You love Calvary? Then you ought to love the King James Bible. This Bible does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Amen. Let's go ahead and amen. Let's close in prayer before the service this morning. Brother Will, would you close us in prayer, please?